begin with prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we consider your Son, that he was your righteous servant and he came to, he glorified not himself, and all the lessons we see, Father, thank thee for what you've taught me and help me now in giving it out to make it clear and give strength and all that is needed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of today's message is Christ, God's Righteous Servant. We don't often think about the Lord being a servant. We think of him being as the King of Kings. But so I learned a lot from this. Our text is Hebrews 5, chapter 5, verse 5, and the first phrase in it. And we'll be spending a lot of time in the book of John. Hebrews 5, 5. So also Christ glorified not himself. And this is what we'll be looking at. We looked at the other on a Tuesday night, the rest of that verse. But today we want to think of how Christ, so also Christ glorified not himself. And we had the memory verse, and we will consider, there'll be three main points, how what he did in word, he did it all in the name of his Father. What he did in deed, he did it all in the name of his Father. And he always gave thanks for everything that his Father had given to him. And so we see from that, he exemplifies how we should do everything in word in the name of the Lord Jesus, how we should do everything in deed in the name of the Lord Jesus, and how we should give thanks to God and the Father by him for everything that he has given us. So we'll go to the classic scripture on this, and that's Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and we'll read it. I know we've been there a lot of times, but so Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then we receive the result of it. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see in this verse that that mind is to be in us, that he was in the form of God, and he was equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. In other words, he glorified not himself. Another way of saying making himself of no reputation, he glorified not himself, and took upon him the form of a servant. In eternity past, at some time he was not a servant, but he took upon him the form of a servant. Christ and the Father were and are equal to each other, but Christ was a servant to his Father when he came here on earth. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, and we'll read 15 to 21, which is a quote from Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. And verse 16 I'd never seen before. I'd overlooked it, though I've read it many times, but the Lord, in preparing for this, taught me verse 16. But we'll read Matthew 12, 15 to 21. Matthew 12:15-21. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled. Why did he charge them that they should not make him known? You know, I often wondered why it was the Lord, when he would heal somebody, he would say, don't tell anybody. Well, here's the reason: that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So why did he not want them to make him known? Why did he not want them to, why did he glorify not himself? Because he was a servant. He was a servant to his Father. And servants don't glorify themselves. They glorify their master. In this case, it was his Father. Isaiah 53:11, the verse we read a lot of times. We read it last Sunday, and that's where I get the title for my message, Christ God's Righteous Servant, is Isaiah 53:11. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, and my righteous servant, and his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So that's where I got the title, and there are other scriptures where the Lord Jesus is referred to as a servant, and here is my righteous servants. So servants do not glorify themselves, just as he told the multitude, don't make my name known. They don't glorify themselves. They glorify the one who they are working for, and this time the Father, the one who sent him into the world. Let's go to John 8:49-50. We'll be reading a lot of passages in the book of John. That showed that the Lord Jesus did not glorify himself. He did not seek to be glorified, but he rather glorified his Father. In John 8:49-50, Jesus answered, I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. You see, he does not seek his own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. So the Lord Jesus did not seek his own glory. Let's go to John 5:43. So in doing everything, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You don't seek your own glory. John 5:43. Go to John 5:43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He came in his Father's name. He didn't come in his own name. He came in his Father's name, and that's why he always glorified the Father. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And so we can't glorify our own selves and seek the honor. We need to seek the honor that cometh from God and not from men. All right, in John 5:26, John 5:26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And so he didn't say, I have life in myself. He says, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So he is making very plain that as a servant, he got his life from the Father. And he recognized that his life came from the Father. John 7:16, now we begin to deal with how he glorified the Father in everything he spoke in word. Read John 7:16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, or teaching and doctrine are about the same. My teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. It was his Father's teaching. It wasn't his teaching. And so he gave credit for his doctrine. His teaching was not his. It was his Father's. Verse 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So he did not claim that his teaching, the things that he spoke in word, he gave credit that it all came from his Father. He didn't seek it. Well, it was his glory. It all came from his Father, and he received it of his Father. John 17:8. We'll be referring to a lot of things in this great prayer of our Lord Jesus in John 17, but we'll start with verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. I have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. He again says that he was sent by the Father, and the words that he had given to his disciples were the words which his Father had given him. He gave no glory, he took no glory to himself, but he gave all the glory to his Father in what he, in word. John 17:14, he says the same thing. I have given them thy word. He didn't claim it was his word. He said it was thy word. John 17:26. Again he says, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I have declared unto them thy name. And he did it by declaring what the Father had given him to speak. John 5:30. And this is repeated two times, both in respect to what he said, in respect to word, and it is said in respect to what he did. I can of my own self do nothing. Here you have the Son of God, who created the heavens and the earth, stretched out the heavens with his fingers, or the work of his fingers. And he as a servant says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. And why is it just? Because I seek not mine own will. It was but the will of the Father who has sent me. So just judgment is based entirely on the will of the Father. And that will, that word, Jesus came and gave to us. There a number of other references that say the same thing. Let's go to John 8. So we see how Christ is God's righteous servant, glorified not himself, but what he did in word, he did all in the name of his Father. We see it repeated again in John 8:26-28. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. He didn't say, I am true. He said, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So he didn't claim that the words that he spoke were of himself. I do nothing of myself, he said. The words that I speak, they all come from the Father, and he gave glory to the Father. So we see that Christ exemplified for us, whatever you do in word, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. A servant doesn't glorify himself in word, and he doesn't glorify himself in deed or in his work. So we'll see how the Lord Jesus, God's righteous servant, did not glorify himself in his works, but rather glorified the Father. Let's go back again to John 8:29, which followed right where we were. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always, which would include his work as well as his speaking. I do always those things that please him, and those things that pleased him were the Father's will. He always did what was the will of his Father. His deeds were always what pleased the Father. And again, he makes this amazing statement in John 15:19-20. John 15:19-20. The Son of God who laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens are the work of his hands. As a servant, he says this in John 5:19-20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son. In other words, he's not claiming he's doing something new and all of his own. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, as put in parentheses, don't belong there because the Father raised up Christ from the dead by the eternal Spirit. So he says, as the Father raised him up and quickened him, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So again he says, for the Father, the Son can do nothing of himself. He doesn't take credit for the things that he does. He will raise the dead because he's seen the Father raise the dead and quicken the dead, doing it all in the name of his Father. Okay, John 17:4, back to John 17. This again is our prayer, his prayer to the Father. You see again how he glorifies not himself, but he always glorifies the Father. He says in verse John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The work that he did was the work that was given to him of his Father. He was commanded by the Father what to speak and what to do, and we read that in the breaking of bread service, that he had been anointed to preach the gospel and to set those out of prison and so forth. We read that. This was he, He says, I have glorified thee on the earth because he finished the work. He did all the work which the Father gave him to do. He didn't go do on his own. It was the Father who gave him the work to do, and he finished it as a servant would do. As a God's righteous servant, he finished what the Father had told him to do, gave him to do. John 4:34. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, My work is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So it wasn't doing what he wanted to do. The servant doesn't do what he wants to do. He does what's been given him to do. And in this case, the Father gave him work to do, anointed him and sanctified him and sent him into the world. Gave a commandment to what to say and what to do. And he did the will of him that sent him and finished the works that he gave when he anointed him and sanctified him. The same thing in John 5:36. I'll read that, John 5:36. But I have greater witness than that of John, referring to John the Baptist, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And he said, you know, in another place, if I had not done the works that no other man could do, they had not had sin, but they rejected him. They rejected the fact that he was doing something that no other man could do. They said he blasphemed because he made himself the Son of God. They would not recognize that he was doing works that no other man could do, even though it was evident. No other man could raise the dead as he did with Lazarus and as he did with the widow's son that was being carried out. Okay, so he came to finish the works that were given to him by the Father. He, as a servant, he did what he was, the works that he was given to do. Let's go to Matthew 26:39. Matthew 26:39. These are the prayers in the garden of the Lord Jesus, and we see that it was the will of his Father, not his will, that was important to him. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then verse 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. He always did the will of his Father. And in 44, it says, and he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words, thy will be done. As God's righteous servant, he always did the will of his Father. John 18:11 is another verse along this line. John 18:11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, this is when they had taken the Lord, and Peter withdrew, took out his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So as God's righteous servant, he did everything that the Father had given him to do. And he says, given. He used the word given. And of course, as it was read in John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He finished the work that the Father gave him to do. But it was given to him by the Father because he was God's righteous servant. So he exemplified for us, whatever you do in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're obedient to the will of God that he has given to us. It's in our Great Commission, commission teaching them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him, he recognized that the Lord Jesus recognized, and this is largely in John 17, what had been given him. We've already read that the Father had given him all things, given him life. We'll read some in John 17, verse 2. He recognized what had been given him. If you don't recognize something's been given to you, you're not going to give thanks for it. And he recognized that these things had been given him as God's righteous servant. He didn't take glory to himself here in speaking to his Father. In John 17, 2, and this would be the result of his servant being a servant. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Here he, and then a whole string of verses here in John 17, the men, the believers, us, he says, have been given to him. So I read verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they be one, may be one as we are. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. So again, he says, them that thou gavest me. And verse 24, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Now that's 26. 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou gavest me, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. So he's saying that these men were given to him, and the glory that he has was given him. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I mean, he could have said, rightly have said, but as a servant, he says, given me. And let's go to Revelation 5:9, a verse that we often sing. And this is entirely true. But he doesn't, as a servant, he doesn't say that to his Father. And when he had Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He could rightly have said to the Father, these men that I have redeemed unto thee by my blood out of every... Well, he doesn't. He says, as a servant, he doesn't seek his own glory. He says, the men which thou gavest me. And again, I think we read that John 17:7. Since we're there, I read John 17:20. Well, in John 17:7, in this prayer, he gives thanks to the Father for all things. And now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So he recognizes that all things have been given to him. And we read John 13:3 earlier, I believe. No, we didn't. Let's go to John 13:3. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. So in our giving of thanks unto God the Father, we need to recognize, as he did, that all things have been given unto us. We haven't earned it, and thus seek his glory and do it in his name. In John 17:24, the verse that I already read, that he says that his glory, the glory had been given him. So what's the result? We already read the result of that in John 17:2. He was given power over all flesh in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. And so he says, all power is given unto me. That was the result. There was a reward. You know, the song, there is a song, and I wouldn't sing it. And we'll come to the scripture, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And it says, to labor unrewarded. Christ was rewarded for being a servant. He was given, and we will be rewarded for our being a servant if we do all things for his honor and glory, as he did. He exemplified what it means to do things in his name, not seek our own glory. So Christ, we already read in 2:9, he was highly exalted and given a name above every name. That was the result. That was the reward of him being God's righteous servant. We'll go to John 20:21. That's what I was referring to, John 20:21. Then this is after the resurrection, when he comes to the disciples and said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. How did the Father send him? The Father sent him to do the work that he was told him what to do. He told him what to say. These were all the things that this is how he was sent. He was sent as a servant. He wasn't sent when he came the first time. The next time he'll come as a king, but he was sent as a servant. And so he glorified not himself. And this exemplifies to us what it means to be a servant. As my Father sent me, so send I you. He sent him as a servant. That's also in John 17:8. We're told in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and who made himself of no reputation, and so forth. He did not, as we our text was, he glorified not himself. Matthew, let's go to Luke 14:11. Now, have we been sent, and what are the principles upon which we have been sent? Luke 14:11. We saw the result of our Lord's being a servant, righteous servant. He was given power over all flesh. All power was given unto him, and highly exalted above a name. And you see the same principle for ourselves in Luke 14:11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There is a reward for humbling yourself and being a servant. Matthew 20:25-28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, and this was after the mother of Zebedee's children came and wanted one to sit on one hand and on the other. Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon him. This is the way the world works. And we're all familiar with this is the way the world works. But he says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to be a servant, and to give his life a ransom for many. So this is the admonition to some of the admonitions I forgot to say. In the book of Hebrews, the author, the Holy Spirit, will say something about Christ, some truth, and then he will bring an admonition of how people were to act in respect to the truth. So these things that I'm giving you now are how we should act, having known the truth concerning how the Lord Jesus was God's righteous servant. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 10:31. And this is goes along with our memory verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Instead of word or deed to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So in everything we do, it's all to be for his glory, not for our own glory. Not seeking honor for ourselves. We need to recognize, as our Lord, the Lord said that as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. We need to recognize that we have been given eternal life. It's a gift. It's not anything that we have ever earned. In John 10:28, the Lord Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And again he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we have been given eternal life. We did nothing to earn it. So we don't have anything to glory about. It's all been a gift. 1 Corinthians 4:7. These are admonitions in the light of all this truth of how the Lord Jesus was a servant, and he did all things for the glory, said all things for the glory in the name of his Father. Now he did all things in the name of his Father, so we should do these things. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You know, we read scripture where the God the Son, the servant, said that he had all things from the Father. And that thou, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? A servant doesn't glory in the things that he's received. He's thankful for it. Instead, he recognizes that they've been given to him. Romans 12:3. Now, I hear a lot of people talking about their faith, and they talk as though they had faith when they were unsaved. They did not. They're not giving glory to God. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. When you think soberly, and it's in Titus in the study where Ken's had us about thinking soberly. The word soberly is mentioned. aged, the elders are to be sober, the aged men are to be sober, the aged women are to teach the younger women to be sober, and the young men are to be sober. So what's it mean to be sober? I think this verse gives you a good idea of what it means to be sober. You recognize that God has given you everything. You're not glorying in things. When you start glorying in things as though you didn't receive it, then you're not being sober. You're not recognizing that you're a servant, and Christ has given everything just as God the Father gave everything to him. And he, though he were the Son and creator of all things, he recognized that they were given to him. John 15:5, the Lord Jesus, we read about three times in the Gospel of John, I can of mine own self do nothing. He turns around and says the same thing to us in John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We have to recognize that without him we can do nothing, and if we can't do anything without him, then we haven't anything to glory in. Acts 17, and we were in Acts 17, but I don't think we read these verses, Acts 17, 24 to 28. Acts 17:24-28. Some of the things that we have been given, some of the things that we have received, and these are spelled out here in Acts 17:24. God that made the world and all, Acts 17:24. Okay, I'll read it all. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, the Lord Jesus recognized that the Father had given him as his righteous servant all things. And we have been given all things, life and breath and all things. And in verse 28, since we've run out of time, for in him we live and move and have our being. So it's in him that we live and move and have our being. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 20, 21. On Tuesday night, Brother Ken was in Titus 2:13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, teaching us. And the grace of God, there is the Lord Jesus, and he teaches us to live soberly and godly in this present evil world. And it's kind of skipping my mind right now, but let's go to Ephesians 4:20. We have been, another reference that tells us that we have been, just as he was taught by the Father what to do and what to say, we need to recognize him as our teacher rather than some man. And we need to be taught by him from his word. Ephesians 4, 20 and 21. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. See, we've heard him. We've been given faith, given ears to hear, and that resulted in faith, and we've been taught by him these things we have received of him. 1 John 2:27, just as he was taught by the Father, the servant was taught by the Father what to say. So we have should be recognize him as our teacher and be taught by him. In verse 1 John 2:27, just as the Father anointed the Son, and we read about that in the breaking of bread, we have received an anointing, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and that anointing as it was with Christ as the Holy Spirit, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So we need to be taught by him and recognize him as our teacher. 1 John 12, let's go to John 12:26. Here you have a result of those who are willing to recognize these things, that without him we can do nothing. Those are willing to recognize that and be a servant and not seek our own glory. In John 12:26, the Lord Jesus says these words. If any man serve me, in other words, if any man's going to be the Lord's servant, as the Father has sent me, so send I you, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Just as the Father honored Christ and gave him a name above every name, he, the Father, will honor those who are willing to be a servant and seek to do all things in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Luke 17:10. I'll finish with this verse. This should be our attitude as servants. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And that's the attitude of a servant who has been redeemed and bought with the precious blood of the Son of God. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your Son, who glorified not himself. He glorified thee all the time here on earth. He said his teaching and his words were from you, commanded from you. His, what he did, he saw you do first. And Father, we thank thee that he recognized that without thee he could do nothing, and help us in recognizing the same thing in our daily lives, that without him we can do nothing. And cleanse us, Father, of our pride and boasting that we're all guilty of, and we don't give thee the credit, or even say when we're going to do something, God willing, Lord willing, we'll do it. Help us to recognize these things, that our life and breath and our eternal life, our faith and love and hope, all these things have been given to us. All the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit have been given to us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. All these great things you have given to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.